Hey, it's hey, Fire on the Mountain Radio fans. It's Steve Keats with Fire on the Mountain Radio on OWWR, Old Westbury Web Radio, here at beautiful State University of New York at Old Westbury. It's October 28th, and this show was going to be about me playing a really cool interview I did with Keller Williams last Wednesday. Still going to be that, but I think it's going to have a little bit of a skew into the Lou Reed passing, because that's definitely something we didn't plan on. I guess Lou partied pretty good, but this version of Fire on the Mountain Radio is going to be a little more talky, I think, than we're used to. I have a selection to read, which is relevant to everything we're up to. And it's called The Velvets and the Dead. I may edit it a little as I talk. In the background, we're listening to The Grateful Dead with Pigpen. And Pigpen, I think, and Lou Reed probably had a lot in common. This show is from May 11th, 1972. So here's what my research says I should tell you about The Velvets and the Dead. This makes it a little low. Readers might wonder what connection the Velvet Underground had with the Grateful Dead. Weren't they complete opposites? Didn't the Velvet Underground hate hippies, psychedelia, and laughter? Sunny, pleasant acid trips for dancing hippies versus dark, abrasive, anti-life heroin dirge. Could any two bands be more different? The story isn't so simple, though. In some strange ways, the two bands were like flip sides to each other. As Richie Unterberger once said, both were once known as the Warlocks. Both have made their music heavily associated with the ingestion of drugs. And both were prone to perform lengthy improvisations on stage that are comparable to those of few other bands. Lou Reed said, once we were playing on a bill with the Grateful Dead, some reporter from the New York Daily News asked me, what was the difference between the Underground, the Velvet Underground, and the Dead? With a perfectly straight face, I told him, the difference is that they take kids backstage and turn them on, but we shoot them up. Don't you know? He actually believed me and printed that. Despite a totally different style and sensibility, their musical approach is closer than seems obvious at first. The Velvets were consistent in using songs as jumping off places for extended improvs. Lou Reed was as much a fan of Coltrane and jazz horn players as the Dead were, though he favored the noisy skronk style of Ornette Coleman and Albert Ayler. Lou says, when I started out, I was inspired by people like Ornette Coleman. He was a great influence. He said that European Sun was his way of imitating Coleman with guitars. Continuing, Lou said, I've been listening to a lot of Cecil Taylor and Ornette Coleman, and wanted to get something like that with a rock and roll feeling. And I think we were successful, but I also think we carried about as far as we could for our abilities as a basically rock and roll band. Later, we continued to play that kind of music, and I was really experimenting a lot with guitar, but most of the audience at the clubs just weren't receptive to it at all. Sidebar, the Dead's admiration of Ornette was a quiet one, but acknowledged when he played with them in the 90s. Garcia said, after working on one of Ornette Coleman's albums, when I hear his playing, or I hear something that I always wished would be in mind, a kind of joy and beauty. Both bands like to take simple modal patterns of one or two chords and spin them out into long jams, though they took these in different directions. Both the Velvets and the Dead were innovators in using feedback as a musical statement. Of course, they weren't alone. The Who and Hendrix, among others, were doing the same feedback. Doing the same feedback was an exciting new thing in those days. If you've heard the Velvets' early soundtracks for Warhol films, their freaky ambient noise not far removed from the Dead's later spaces. The Velvets were one of the few rock bands I know to do half-hour freeform improvisations in 1966. Rock music was stretching out and solos were getting wilder, but many instrumentals had not gone to such monstrous lengths. the list of 20-minute jams is short that year. Moby Grape, Butterfield Blues Band, Pink Floyd. Improvisation is very much a live art, though, and was frowned upon in the studio. Recordings of the time, as was any tune, longer than 3 minutes. A couple of rare instances were rock songs of over 10 minutes, like The Stones and Love and Blues Project. As a result, there are many bands who are known for their exciting long jams on stage. Those bands confined themselves to short pop material on their records. One recommended Velvet show is from October 1966, a complete two-hour show where they played no less than two half-hour improvs called The Nothing Song and Melody Laughter, which don't sound like quite like anything else. Then by 1968, they had a song, Sister Ray, which came out as different every time they played it. Other songs could sprout 10-minute guitar solos. And while the Dead had Phil Lesh to give them avant-garde dissonant edge, the early Velvets had John Cale, who brought a quite different avant-garde slant. The Velvets, of course, were sworn enemies of Dead's music. In 1971, Maureen Tucker called the Dead the most boring band she ever heard. Sterling Morrison also loathed them and despised San Francisco music in general. Lou Reed also had harsh things to say about them, although he did like Moby Grape. Here's an interview from 1970. Lou said, "We had vast objections to the whole San Francisco scene. It's just a tedious lie. Untalented. They can't play. They can't write. The Dead. The airplane. Doug Yule says, "They lose track of where the music comes from. So they start thinking instead of playing, especially the Dead. Now I saw the Dead when they just started. They were just a bunch of scuzzy kids who had a ball playing rock and roll. They were having a lot of fun." Lou says, "I can't get off understanding the kick it was to play Love Light. But they're amateur. They can't play. Jerry's not a good guitar player. It's a joke. Airplane is worse." Doug says, "Jerry, he'll play the same solo for half an hour, but if he'd done it just for 2 minutes, he plays it over and over. Lou, it's what people are settling for. They're getting third-hand blues. It's a fad. People like Jefferson Airplane, Grateful Dead, are all talented bores. And the whole thing is the kids are being hyped into it on FM radio. Well, now, finally, it's dead. The whole San Francisco thing is dead." The Velvets ended a Fillmore show, putting their guitars against the amps and letting the feedback howl as they left the stage. Billy Graham couldn't stand it and called it the worst entertainment he ever saw. Finally, The Velvets and the Dead played together a couple of times in 1969. One remarkable night in February, the Fugs, the Velvets, and the Dead all played. One newspaper wrote, "Such a collection of freaks could hardly lead anywhere but up. The Velvets opened the festivities with Heroin, one of their religious songs. The Dead offered two typically intense hard jamming sessions. They shared a bill again, and the Dead opened for the Velvet Underground." And this is the story of Lou Reed and the Grateful Dead. They didn't play too many songs crossing over. The closest we get is Fish with Rock and Roll. We're going to hear some covers from that today. First, we're going to listen to the rest of this jam from the Dead from May 72. Then we're going to listen to my Keller Williams interview. Keller was fantastic at Paramount on Saturday night with Freaker by the Speaker, Fire on the Mountain, Scarlet Begonia, and then a lot of Lou Reed and some Lou Reed covers. Thank you for listening to Fire on the Mountain Radio. Come on, lady, you delay. Wasn't me, but I didn't waste no time.
expeditionary forces on a 4-day trip. Thank you.
Comes to you live every Monday night, 7 to 9 p.m. Steve Keats playing Grateful Dead and other jam bands for you here at OWWRNY.org.
Calling all sports fans, turn your passion for sports into a career at Old Westbury Web Radio. Become a part of the OWWR sports team. Learn how to call play-by-play and color commentary, engineer games, execute a sports talk show, and much more.
Stokely, down the sideline! Wow!
So join the team. Show us the sports person in you. Stop by the radio station located in rooms 328 and 329 in the Student Union for more information. Or call OWWR at 516-876-7502. Once again, 516-876-7502.
My name is Tom Thornton.
And my name is Cindy Thornton. We're retired, and this is how we live United.
We decided to volunteer with United Way at our community free health clinic.
United Way is how we contribute, because we know our time and money are going to the right places.
Judging by the thank yous we get at the clinic, I'd say we're doing the right thing with our retirement, too. We're Tom and Cindy Thornton. We volunteer at our community free health clinic. We don't just wear the shirt.
We live it.
Give, advocate, volunteer. Live United. Go to liveunited.org. Brought to you by United Way and the Ad Council.
You're listening to OWWR, Old Westbury Web Radio, broadcast live from the SUNY Old Westbury College campus in Old Westbury, New York.
Dave, what are you doing?
Just sending a gift to Dave 2037.
Who?
Me in the future. I save a little money from every paycheck for Dave 2037 so he can buy anti-gravity boots or a hologram Doberman. What are you getting Steve 2037?
Steve 2037 will be just fine.
Okay, but don't expect to borrow my anti-gravity boots.
Save something for the future. Put away a few bucks, feel like a million bucks. For free ways to save, go to feedthepig.org. That's
feedthepig.org.
This message brought to you by the American Institute of Certified Public Accountants and the Ad Council.
On Choice Cuts with Gary Carlton, on any given Saturday, you can hear music from the 60s up until today. It's a good time had by all. Saturdays, 3 to 5 p.m. Choice Cuts with your host, Gary Carlton, on OWWR, at AIM, Twitter, Ustream, at OWWRNY.
Are you interested in working behind the scenes at Old Westbury Web Radio? OWWR's Public Relations Department is looking for hardworking and dedicated people who are interested in radio, planning events, and web design. Don't miss your chance while you're at the College of Old Westbury to get involved in a position that is fun, interesting, and that benefits your future.
You're listening to OWWR, Old Westbury Web Radio, broadcast live from the SUNY Old Westbury College campus in Old Westbury, New York.
Hello, so this is Steve Keats from Fire on the Mountain Radio at State University of New York at Old Westbury, and I have the pleasure this morning of having a conversation with one of our favorite musicians, Keller Williams. He's coming to Long Island for the first time in, I think, 10 years. Did I figure that out correctly, Keller?
Well, it's been a while. I did Bush Stevens' talk house a year or two ago.
Right. But that's for rich people.
Yeah, and there wasn't a whole lot of people there, so that probably doesn't count. I don't think that one counts.
Right, I was trying to look at the history, and I saw that the last show might have been in Long Island, might have been the Jones Beach.
Well, yeah, that was a trip to play that place for sure. That was an amazing experience. I remember that. very tensively.
Was that some sort of festival? They used to have them out there.
Yeah. There's a whole bunch of bands on that, and I don't think I got to play for very long. But I remember going out into the audience and watching the show. And I think that's more of what I remember.
Well, in terms of going out into the audience and watching the show, you know, I don't want to be too much of a fanboy, but we did that with you in Jamaica.
Nice.
That was
a beautiful trip. Really nice sight right on the beach, and everyone, I felt like at that, you know, that was there for those couple of days, I think really kind of came together as this little community. It was really fun.
You know, it was old fashioned, you know, hippie love. You know,
that's right. It was a gathering of music lovers, and that included the bands as well. You know?
It was great. It was great. I love how you took the headband out to Terrapin. You know, do you want? Should we? Just I have the random kind of questions, but do you want to talk about forming and what's happening with Headband?
Well, you know, I think that was just a fun little one-off. You know, there's no real plans to do that again, although I think we all really enjoyed ourselves and would be open to doing it again. But that just came down to Ron Baracco, you know, happening to be out there at the same time. I think he and Jeff played a couple nights previous, and they played in the restaurant as well as on the stage. And I had the weekend dates, and it seems logical for me to add another date and to play with them. It was really, really fun. We're super amazing musicians. All three of those guys, for sure. It was really, really fun.
Hopefully they're not busy this weekend and can come hang out on Saturday, right? I've seen Jeff's brother hanging around the venue that you're going to play at. I haven't seen Jeff there, except when he's getting paid to play, right?
Right. Yeah, I'm going to be playing first in front of Jake Cianobacuro. Are you familiar with them at all?
No, we were checking him out, too. That's going to be cool. But I know we've seen you enough, Keller, to know you're not going to be able to. Jake will get to play some tunes, but I'm sure you guys are going to collaborate.
Yeah, I hope so. That's the plan. We haven't really hung out together, you know, in many, many years, Jake and I. He is just an amazing musician and spirit, and I'm really looking forward to, you know, watching him play as well. And there's definitely some ideas that have gone back and forth for songs, but nothing's real definite yet. But I hope that he and I can collaborate together.
Let me throw out some standard and some less standard questions. So you play as many instruments as any, I don't know if you want to call yourself a rock guy, but you play as many instruments, you know, I mean, if we go back to Paul McCartney on Ram, right? So what's your favorite instrument?
Well, it would have to be the guitar. Yeah, that's what I play the most. I think the very first instrument was probably the piano. You know, as soon as I could reach the keys, I was banging on them and, you know, making up little melodies and things. I never really learned how to play, to read music, but I think that was the first. And the second instrument was probably the pots and pans. and then, you know, at a very young age, I would pretend, you know, to play the guitar, and I didn't really learn how to play it correctly until I was about 12 or 13.
Were you in a musical family? Did your parents or your siblings play music?
My mom and my sister played piano. My father, you know, he had a big record collection and 8-track tapes and lots of different music to listen to. So my family, you know, played music, but mainly through the stereo.
Yep, that's kind of my angle. Tell me. Let's ask you about our two favorite. You and I may have two of the same favorite bands. When did you get into the Dead?
It was probably 1986. I was about 16, and I was in this crazy phase of learning. You know, was really into REM at the time, which in '86 was kind of like, yeah, they were considered college rock, I guess. It was called, there was a genre called college rock, and you know, I was kind of diving into all that. And the acoustic side of REM kind of led me into discovering more acoustic type of music. And I think it was the record Reckoning by the Grateful Dead, you know, the acoustic record, that really opened me up to the band. And from there, you know, I started getting into bootlegs. And then from the bootlegs, you know, I started going to my first show, which was in 1987.
Great.
And which was an odd time to go see the Grateful Dead for a teenager, because we were really looked kind of down upon as, you know, with the whole Touch of Grey that came out shortly after that. You know, a lot of older folks thought that kind of brought in a new element that possibly led to the destruction of the scene, blah blah blah. But it was an interesting time to kind of enter the scene, and I really got absorbed in the music first, and then the whole culture and family aspect, and with the friends that I made in the lots, that kind of carried on from city to city as I went and saw them as many times as I could, my finances would allow. You know,
it's great. And then the second band, you know, and it may just be that my ear hears it, but a band that you pick up a lot of songs from is the Talking Heads.
Well, yeah, you know, never really a collector of the records or of, you know, really studying them, so to speak, but I am a kid of the radio, and there's a lot of hit songs that people all over the world connect with, and Dan Byrne has that knack, you know, for coming up with these songs that people of all races and of all musical styles can appreciate. And with this funk band, you know, that was it was a bit of a bridge in between my world and their world, which is primarily like an R&B kind of gospel type of funk. And Talking Heads, there's a couple songs that we do by Dave Byrne wrote that we do, you know, completely different from the originals, but with the vocal and the meaning and the words, you know, people grab onto it, and it's a good bridge in between my world and these wonderful people that allow me to be in their world in this band.
In it with the More Than a Little, and the funk band, yeah. And I guess I was just listening to a show, and you did a funny shout out to David Byrne, so that was cool. And you know, I was listening to other old. I'm actually Keller sitting in Las Vegas, and I saw you opened up a Keller Williams Incident Vigus show with a couple of Talking Head songs a few years back. So thank you.
That's right.
Thank you.
That's right.
Thank you. You know.
Yeah, that was an exciting show. You know, we got to really put in a whole bunch of new, you know, different kind of material for that show. That we don't really do those incidents as much as we used to. So those are real special to me.
So, all right, now we'll pop into. You play so many genres, right? You know, I heard in the keys music. You know, I heard like Keith Jarrett in there and the funk and, you know, and your solo stuff and Rhythm Devils. If you could pick one, what would it be?
Well, I would say if I had to pick one genre to play, it would be jazz, funk, reggae, techno, grass. I guess that's a pinpoint, you know. I guess a little more modern would be jazz, funk, reggae, electronica, grass.
Well, I think having Rob, what is it, Koritz from the Dark Star playing that little drum device was pretty techno. That jam in the sand.
Yeah, well, techno in the sense of technology, but, you know, you really have to be a drummer to make it sound like that, you know?
Yeah, he was cool. All right, let's do this one. Did you like the jerk chicken or the chops at Jam in the Sand?
Jerk chicken or the chops? I think it was the lobster on the lobster night that really got it for me.
Okay. Are there any musicians alive or dead you wish you could play with?
Obviously, I'd love to sit around and play on a couch with Jerry Garcia.
Yeah.
Not necessarily on a stage in front of a bunch of people, but more kind of like in a living room setup. That would I would love to play with him. You know, I've never been on stage with Phil Lesh. I'm hoping to one day be able to do that. Kind of excited of that possibility if that's ever to go down.
Right, he's your only like missing live dead member, right? You'll catch that. I'm sure you'll catch that in the next couple of years. You'll catch that.
I'm sorry, what did you say,
Steve? I said you'll catch that in the next couple of years.
Yeah, man. Yeah, I think it's gonna happen. I think I look forward to that prospect. You know, but yeah, there's so many folks that I would love to play with. Like I really really love the upright bass and the whole double giant acoustic sound of the bass, and I think that Esperanza Spalding would be really really fun to be in the same room on the same stage playing the same song with her for sure. I think that's something I would love to have happen.
And what are you bringing out to Paramount? The your looping setup?
Yeah, the setup in the past year or two has been slimmed down, kind of doing more with less, and this will be an opening show, and Jake Jake Shimabukuro, the guy playing second, is an amazing ukulele player, and I'm really excited to kind of shape my set.
Okay, so we're continuing with Keller Williams. Are you a Beatles guy or a Stones guy?
Yes.
Excellent answer. Do you ever sit and watch concert movies? Do you have a favorite concert movie?
I think the first one was Under a Blood Red Sky by U2.
Excellent.
That was kind of the first one that really kind of opened me up to the idea of rock and roll, at least.
And how about this one? You know, we see Dark Star and they do such an amazing job, and maybe their push came from Jerry passing, you know? Do you think they'll be that Fish will spin off a band like that, or is Dark Star Orchestra special for the Grateful Dead?
I know there's a band called Solar Garlic that's playing Fish songs, and there was another band, another Fish cover band. This is the type of music that becomes people's soundtrack, to their lives.
Yeah.
Young people, old people, all people. Music does different things to different people, and the fact that this type of music, any type of music, makes people want to go out and cover it. Whatever makes the musician playing the music happy, I think, is the most important thing. And the fact that they're, true music lovers and playing the music that they love is what it's all about to that personal person, and what they've got going on in their head. And, I think the Fish will definitely have folks playing their music for many years to come, as the Grateful Dead, as it's both as kind of its own genre, so to speak, you know.
Yeah, sometimes I think Fish can be a little closer to Frank Zappa, but that might be my own bias, you know.
Oh no, that's very very true statement for sure. That they are probably more closer to Zappa in the sense of music, but in the sense of, you know, spirit, improvisation, songs, and you know. And just totally sharing a culture that has their music as a personal soundtrack to a whole group of people's lives. I mean, they're very similar in that regard.
And tell me, do you think you'll be getting back together with String Cheese for a tour? Any discussions on that front?
No discussions at all. They are an amazing group of folks that have done so much for me, and they are really, I think, enjoying life again back as a band and making music, and they've got a lot going on with a lot of different folks, as well as all their own inner projects that they have. But there's nothing on the books yet, but you know, I don't think either one of us are going anywhere anytime soon, so I think there'll be plenty of time.
Cool.
For that.
How many weeks a year are you on the road?
I do about 110 shows a year, and they're all on the weekends. So I'm usually home from Sunday to Thursday. Sunday to Thursday morning, gone. Thursday to Sunday night. And so it's pretty much, I get about four or five weekends off a year.
Are you teaching your daughter to play any instruments right now?
Well, there's lots of instruments around. There's percussion instruments. She's been taking piano for a couple of years. My son, he's 5. You know, he definitely likes to rock out in a pretend sort of way. Both of them have really good pitch and can sing, even though they're not really quick to sing in front of people. You know, no one's really pushed them to. It's just kind of, you know, music's all around them at all times, whether it be me walking around playing it or having it on stereo, you know, so it's definitely in their lives, and just kind of let them find it, you know, on their own naturally.
The Reed from AOD brought his son on to sing, his little son, to sing at the end in Gathering of the Vibes this year. It was cute, but I don't know if we're looking for cute when we're up at Gathering of the Vibes, you know?
Oh, wow, yeah. Yeah, that's a heavy thing, but, you know, it's also amazing documentation, you know, of a crowd like that, and you put it in respect, you know, of that. I totally see where you're coming from, but at the same time, there's a physical documentation. I played with the last Rhythm Devil show I did at Gathering of the Vibes was Reed.
That was great.
Reed Plaster. Reed on the bass.
Reed Mathis.
Reed Mathis. Reed Mathis on the bass. Steve Kinlock on guitar. Me and Mickey and Billy and Steve Kinlock's son Skyler came out and danced during, like, the whole Not Fade Away, which is probably, you know, 15 minutes long, and it was pretty funny. It was pretty funny to watch, and it was on this DVD, and I think something like that's documented for, you know, for life. And it just shows a sense of, you know, family, you know, next generation, so to speak, coming into the scene, and it's definitely interesting.
No, it's Keller, everybody called that Rhythm Devil show the highlight of that you know, that festival. So,
wow.
So that was cool. That was really awesome. All right, we have a bonus question from one of my friends who we go to the shows with, which is, has Lewis ever come on stage with you?
Lewis being Lewis Gossain?
Yeah.
Sound engineer, tour manager?
Yep.
I think there was a String Cheese show or two that he was invited on to sing as he was at the rehearsals, and he was singing along, and they gave him a microphone. I think he has been on stage during the String Cheese song or two.
Great. Well, I'm going to just say I thank you very much for your time. If you could tell my audience how much you love listening to Fire on the Mountain Radio on OWWR, that would be cool.
Are you ready?
I'm ready, Keller. Hit it.
Hey, this is Keller Williams, and I love listening to Fire on the Mountain Radio.
Thank you.
This song in a very long time.
My request.
Yeah, but we had a request, so we aim to please.
Hope you like that Keller Williams interview. He's a really nice guy, as you could tell. Very authentic dude. I couldn't find a Solar Garlic, but I found the Stretch. This is live from DeKalb, Illinois, from January 2008. It's called The Stretch. We'll listen to The Stretch play Fish cover, and then we'll dive headfirst into our Lou Reed experience. Thank you for listening to Fire on the Mountain Radio. Steve Keats, OWWR. NY.org podcast, FOTMradio.podbean.com. Join over 40,000 visitors to the site. 40,000 visitors, can't be wrong.
Chicago. And who has seen you?
I'm waiting for my man now. I'm waiting for my man now. I'm waiting for so good. You know I'm working hard and I'm feeling so good and I'm feeling so fine. Till tomorrow some other time. I'm waiting for my man now. I'm waiting for my baby. I'm waiting for my man now. 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 Something to say, and I just, hey, wish that people like that, they just go away, cause, man, I guess that I'm done, cause I'll tell you something, honey, I know I ain't smart. Deep down inside, hey, Jack, I got myself a rock and roll hard, yeah, yeah. Hey, man, deep down inside, I got myself beating a rock and roll hard, yeah, got a rock and roll hard. Looking, looking, looking for a real good time. Rock and roll hard, yeah, shove it in a hard up. Hard, looking, looking for a real good time. Oh, I got myself rock and roll hard. Looking, looking, looking for a real good time. Rock and roll, rock and roll, yeah, looking, looking, looking for a real good time now. Rock and roll, rock and roll. gonna try for the canyon if I can, 'cause it makes me feel like I'm a man. And I put a spike into my vein, and things aren't quite the same. 'Cause when you're falling off the edge of this world, falling off the edge of this world, falling off the edge of this world, and I'm rushing on my run, and I feel just like Jesus' son. Thank you.
Oh,
we're going to keep listening to this. This is Lou Reed, May 11th, 1977. At the Bottom Line was a little concert venue, all tables, like a nightclub setting, down on Bleecker Street or West 3rd. It's probably like a Starbucks now. We've been to Starbucks for 20 years or something. Uncle Danny, my uncle, who's also gone for a little while, used to drive one of the guys home from one of the owners of Bottom Line. Oh, little known trivia fact. This band is Lou Reed, Marty Fogel on sax, Mike Fonfara on keyboards, Jeffrey Ross on guitar, Michael Sikorsky on drums, and Bruce Yaw on bass. And this was a local band, and you could see he was defining the punk sound and taking it up a notch in his Lou Reed way. And there's also a lot of, I think, rapping going on this. But we will listen to more Lou Reed, some hits coming up.
We'll be right back.
the way across the USA. But the eyebrows run the way that the shade is red. You as a shooter says, hey man, come on and take a walk on the wild side now. I love you, baby, come here and take a walk on the wild side. Is that right? By the storm, but you never once lost a head. Even when you really could hear the same, hey, can you come on and take a walk on the wild side? Hey, can you come on and take a walk on the wild side? And the colored girls go. Soul food and somebody to eat. Then it goes to me, Apollo. You should have seen that bad motherfucker go go. Says, hey sugar, come on and take a walk on the wild side. I love you, man. Come on and take a walk on the wild side. That bad boy. She just might be James Dean for a day. Didn't know that it had to crash. That year would have helped that person. Hey, Jackie, come on and take a walk on the wild side.
Cheapest types, sounds as stark as black and white stripes. Bold and brash,
sharp and rude. Like the heat's turned off and you're low on food. How in the world are they making that sound? Velvet underground like this. Tucking Sally inside. She's cooking for the down five. She's staring at Miss Rayon. She's busy licking up her pusher's hand. I'm searching for my mainline. I said I could hit sideways. I said I could hit sideways. She does it just like Sister A said. All right. Cheapest kind, like guitar sale $29.99. Bold and brash, stock and still. Like the heat's turned off and you can't pay the bill. How in the world are they making that sound? Velvet on the ground. Both guitars got the buzz tone on. Drummer standing upright, pounding along. A howl, a tone, a feedback whine. Biker boys meet the college kind. How in the world?
See you.
Yeah. stand tall and shout together. Na 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 na.
Some baby that your parents both agree.
There's a downtown fair singing out Proud Mary as she cruises Christopher Street. And some southern queen is acting loud and mean where the docks and the badlands meet. This Halloween is something to be sure of, especially to be here without you. There's a Greta Garbo and an Alfred Hitchcock and some black Jamaican stud. There's five Cinderellas and some leather drags. I almost fell into my mug. There's a Crawford Davis and a tacky Cary Grant. And some homeboys looking for trouble down here from the Bronx. But there ain't no Harry, no Virgin Mary. You won't hear those voices again. And Johnny Rio and Rotten Rita, you never see those faces again. This Halloween is something to be sure of, especially to be here without you. There's the Born Again Losers and the Lavender Boozers and some crack team from Washington Heights. The boys from Avenue B, the girls from Avenue D, a Tinkerbell and tights. This celebration somehow gets me down, especially when I see you're not around. There's no Peter Pedantic saying things romantic in Latin, Greek, or Spic. There's no Three Bananas or Brandon Alexander dishing all their tricks. It's a different feeling that I have today, especially when I know you've gone away. There's a girl from Soho with a t-shirt saying I blow. She's with the Jive 5, 2 plus 3. And the girl for pay dates are giving cut rates or else doing it for free. The past keeps knock, knock, knocking on my door, and I don't want to hear it anymore. No consolations, please, for feeling funky. I gotta get my head above my knees. But it makes me mad and it makes me sad, and then I start to freeze. In the back of my mind I was afraid it might be true. In the back of my mind I was afraid that they meant you. The Halloween Parade. At the Halloween Parade. At the Halloween Parade. See you next year at the Halloween Parade.
Too hard, and perhaps you need a rest.
you start to fall. And all those footsteps, they start to fade. Then you know you're going down. Yeah, you're crashing upside down. And you know you're going down. But last time's not what it seems. It just seems longer. Seems would be brighter if your nights were spent with sun.
Thank you.
world that flew, I would be a bat and come swooping after you. And if the last time you were here things were a bit askew, well, you know what happens after dark. When rattlesnakes lose their skins and their hearts, and all the missionaries lose their bark, oh, all the trees are calling after you, and all the venom snipers after you, are all the mountains bolder after you. If I could be any one of the things in this world that bite, instead of a dentured ocelot on a leash, I'd rather be a kite and be tied to the end of your string and flying in the air, babe, at night. Cause you know what they say about honey bears, when you shave off all their baby hair, you have a hairy-minded pink bear bear. And all the bells are rolling out for you, and stones are all erupting out for you, and all the cheap bloodsuckers are flying after you. Yesterday Daisy May and Biff were grooving on the street, and just like in a movie, her hands became her feet. Her belly button was her mouth, which meant she tasted what she'd speak. Woo! But the funny thing is what happened to her nose.
Thank you, Lou. Fire on the Mountain Radio thanks you, Lou Reed, for everything that you did for rock and roll. We'll see you next week on Fire on the Mountain Radio on OWWRNY.org. Podcast, FOTMradio.podbean.com.
Soldiers dear for you.